I'm talking to you this morning on Hezekiah, the man who had no equal. From 2 Kings, the 18th, 19th, and 20th chapters. Hezekiah was the 13th king of Judah. He reigned from about 714 B.C. to 686. And in verse 5 of 2 Kings, the 18th chapter, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. He was the best king who ever reigned in Judah. In respect to trust, faith. Because in 2 Kings 23, verse 25, about the same thing is said of Josiah. That there was none like him before or after. And to harmonize these two statements, I take it that Hezekiah was the best king, as I said, in faith. Josiah, in his strict adherence to the law of Moses. As I remember, one author said that Hezekiah was the best in faith, Josiah the best in zeal. Hezekiah was a man who was full of energy and courage. He was prudent and active and had a religious disposition. As we look at Hezekiah, ladies and gentlemen, we're impressed with the remarkableness of his life. In view of his background. Here in 2 Kings chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abba, the daughter of Zechariah. This verse says he was the son of Ahaz. And as we back up in the book of Kings, back in chapter 16 particularly, we see the kind of king that his father was. In verse 2 of chapter 16 of 2 Kings, 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places and on the hills and under evergreen tree. His father, Hezekiah's father, was an idolater. And yet here's Hezekiah was faithful unto the Lord. I don't know who influenced him. Maybe it was his mother. I know it wasn't his daddy. It might have been Isaiah. It might have been that as he grew up and saw the oppression of the people engulfed in idolatry, that he got turned off from that and he looked to the Lord. I don't know, the Bible doesn't say, but it does tell us in 2 Kings 18 chapter of his fidelity. And in spite of his father, he served Jehovah. He couldn't point to his father for his faithfulness. And ladies and gentlemen, neither could he have blamed Ahaz if he had not, or if he had been wicked. Certainly, a lack of faithfulness on the part of parents make it more difficult for a child to understand and see God's expectations. But life, when if parents have no interest whatsoever in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, each child, each individual has a responsibility before God to learn and obey the truth. Too many times, you know, we want to blame our parents for our lack of commitment, our lack of dedication. But I want to tell you, brethren, that each one stands or falls himself before Jehovah. And when we get to the judgment bar of God, we're not going to be able to say, well, my daddy and my mother didn't teach me about Jesus Christ. But it's going to be, what did you do in your service to the Lord? Each individual is obligated, responsible before God for his actions or lack of actions. We say somebody wasn't brought up in a very good environment and consequently he or she is weak. And we justify ourselves or justify others in the church who've been members of the body of Christ for years because of their background. Their daddy and their mother weren't faithful and their environment was poor, and consequently we have to overlook their commitment to the Lord or lack of commitment. I don't believe the Lord will accept that. I believe, brethren, that Hezekiah is a constant reminder to each and every one of us that we can overcome our background and we can serve the Lord faithfully. Isn't that right? So let's don't make excuses. Let's just say, I'm failing. I'm not dedicated like I ought to be. It's me who's at fault, not my mother and my father or my environment, but it's me. And I'm not doing what I ought to do. And I'm not living faithful unto the Lord. If anybody ever had an excuse, it would have been Hezekiah. Huh? But Hezekiah overcame his handicap and served God all the days of his life. Let's look at this great man, his strength, his qualities. Here, beginning with verse 3. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. Here the record says he did that which was right. He was a man of action. And he did it in the sight of the Lord. He wasn't concerned about what men thought, or pleasing, or placating men. But what did Jehovah say? What did he think? And so the record says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And in verse 4, he removed the high places. You're talking about a reformer. And he got busy immediately when he became the king of Judah. He went out and he tore down the high places. He removed those old idols. And he opened the temple of the Lord, as you can read in 2 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. And he did it, the Bible says, in the first year and the first month of his reign. He didn't hesitate. He didn't postpone, but he got busy. He hurried to open the temple of God in the restoration of worship under the Old Testament order. And he tore down these idolatrous places, break the images, cut down the groves, and look at this, ladies and gentlemen, and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. It had been around for about 800 years. It had served its purpose there in the wilderness when God sent fiery serpents And whoever had been bitten, if he looked upon that serpent, he would live. But this serpent, this old brazen serpent, came to be an object of worship. There was the incidental. Instead of worshiping God, who healed them, who provided the power, they worshiped this brazen serpent. And you know, if we're not careful, then we'll come to the place where we worship the incidental instead of the God of heaven. Some of us have made a relic out of the Bible. I'm talking about the book itself. I'm talking about the paper and ink. And if we can just have the old family Bible, if we can just lay it up on the coffee table and we can see it day after day, some way, somehow, it brings blessings to our home. Brother, let me tell you something. God is not interested in this book being on the coffee table. He wants this book, the words of this book, in our minds and lived in our lives. The word is what's to be venerated, not the book itself. We might get to the place where we venerate the table on which we have the Lord's Supper. Or venerate the baptistry in which we baptize. Or to venerate the building in which we meet. And these things can become brazen serpents unto us. And he went out, Hezekiah did, and break the brazen serpent. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called it the Hushtan, which simply means a piece of brass. That's all it was a piece of brass. And then in verse 5, he trusted in the Lord of Israel, so that after him was none like unto him among all the kings of Judah, nor in anything that were before him. He had his faith in God. He believed in God. He looked to God for help. He looked to God for blessings. He was a man who trusted totally and wholly. He gave his life to Jehovah. And in essence, he said, Lord, rule. You take control. And that's the kind of attitude, brethren, that we need today in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to put our trust in Jehovah. And let him have his way with us. And the record says, and he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, here in verse 6, which the Lord commanded Moses. He was obedient to Jehovah. And he saw, in order to sustain the relationship to God, he had to keep his commandments. And brethren, let me tell you something today. Nobody can get too close to the Word of God. Somebody says, well, preacher, that's legalism. We don't understand what legalism is. If God said it, we need to believe it and we need to do it. And there's no way at all that we can separate God from His Word, and we show our respect and our love to Jehovah by keeping His Word. So here was this king of Judah who had these sterling qualities, and none was like him before or after of all the kings of Judah. And as a result of that, verse 7 says, and the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. And my friend, if we'll serve God, if we'll cling to the Lord, if we'll obey His commands, if we'll get idols out of our hearts, if we will do that which was right in the sight of the Lord, He'll bless us too. And all the bountiful, manifold blessings of God. Look in your book, songbook, to 623, isn't it? What a great message that song has. What a friend we have in Jesus. all our griefs and sins to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. We forfeit blessings because we don't serve God and ask God to bless us. But if we'll walk in His ways, the Lord will be with us. And just as He blessed King Hezekiah, He's going to bless us in like fashion. At least with spiritual blessings, He may not give us the things that Hezekiah enjoyed the closing years of his life, but I want to tell you, friend, God is going to richly supply us with all of our needs and bless us in Jesus the Christ. But let's look further. We not only see this man's strength, but here in the 19th chapter, he took everything and laid it out, his burdens, and laid it out before the Lord in prayer. And here was the Assyrians from the east, and here was Shalmaneser, and he came, and he sent some messengers unto Hezekiah, unto the people of Judah, and they asked for surrender. Look here in the 18th chapter, beginning with verse 28. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. And they proceeded and said, don't let Hezekiah tell you that Jehovah can deliver you out of our hand. Because he said in verse 33, hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all the land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? None of the other gods did. We conquered. And Jehovah is not able to deliver you. So here was this letter of message of intimidation, of blasphemy. Chapter 19, it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth, went to the house of the Lord, and this was brought to the attention of Isaiah. And here we find in verse 6, Isaiah said unto him, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send the blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land, which indeed he did. And this down here in the 19th chapter, in verse 28, shows what God was going to do to old Shalmaneser and the Assyrians. He said, I will put my hook in thy nose. I like that expression. I'm going to put a hook in your nose, and I'm going to put a bridle in your lips, and I'm going to turn you around and send you right back where you came from. And before he got that job done, he slew by an angel of the Lord 185,000 Assyrians. Soldiers. And all of this, ladies and gentlemen, was because of the prayer of Hezekiah. Look here, if you would please, in verse 14 of 2 Kings 19, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it, and Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Brethren, when we have a problem and a burden, let's spread it out before the Lord. God is able to answer prayer. He answered their prayer, His prayer. He'll answer ours. He'll answer ours. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He heard old Elijah back yonder, and he didn't send rain upon the earth for 3 years. He'll hear our prayers as well. He heard Hezekiah's, he'll hear ours. And any among you afflicted, let him pray. We need to take everything to God in prayer, and God will answer and hear our prayer. Friend, On the night of betrayal, Jesus went yonder in the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed his heart to God. He laid out his problems before Jehovah. When the Jerusalem church was undergoing persecution, they had a prayer meeting. Here's Paul and Silas imprisoned, incarcerated in that old dark, stinking jail prison in Philippi, and we read in the 16th chapter of Acts at midnight that they prayed and sang psalms or hymns. And I read in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, and here's one of the finest passages or scriptures in the Bible, and it says, be careful for nothing, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We have the idea, some of us do, brethren, that everything is fixed and determined and concreted, and God is working everything out according to his foreordained purpose, and there's no way, no reason to pray to God whatsoever. But that's a mistake. Let our request be made known unto God. And he answered Hezekiah's prayer, and he'll answer ours as well. But now hurriedly, as time is coming and going, in chapter 20, an unusual thing happened to Hezekiah. He became sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. You get all your affairs ready, Hezekiah, because you're going to die. And you're not going to live. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something this morning. That every one of us, unless the Lord comes first, is going to die and not live. And we need to set our house in order. And the only way we can have our house in order when death comes is that we keep it in order day after day. Now Hezekiah was told that he was going to die. What if you went to a doctor? You had something that was ailing you, and you went to your physician, and you had a checkup, and the physician said, get your house in order. You only got 1 month to live. What would you do? I know what I'd do. If I weren't a Christian, I'd obey the gospel just as quick as I could. I'd want to get myself right with God. I'd want my sins forgiven. I'd want the burden of guilt removed. I'd want to know that everything was well with my soul. That's one thing I'd do pronto. Number two, if I already a member of the church, I'd attend every service. Wouldn't miss a one. Wouldn't miss a one. If I were able to come, I wouldn't miss a one. I'd be there Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and if there happened to be a gospel meeting going on, I'd be there then, because in a month I meet my Lord. And I'd study the Bible and I'd pray to God and I'd try to get everything crammed into one day. I'd enjoy that day like I'd never enjoyed any, I guess, in my life. But ladies and gentlemen, this might be our last day. We may never see the light of a new day. And if we leave this old world, November the 3rd, 1985, is our house in order? So he said, set your house in order, for you're going to die. And then he turned his face to the wall, verse 2, and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. It came to pass before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, my father, I have heard thy prayer. God hears every prayer of his children. Of a faithful child of his, God hears every one of them. If you're sick and want your life prolonged, ask God to prolong it. Well, he won't prolong my life, preacher. He did Hezekiah's. And he may well yours. If Hezekiah hadn't prayed and asked for an extension of his life, he died then. But prayer extended his life, and prayer will extend our lives. And I'll tell you, brethren, there's a lot of things we can pray for, and God will hear an answer that we won't get otherwise unless we ask for it. You want a better job? You want something that will enable you to be a better person and maybe have more time to serve the Lord? Ask God to give you a better job. Somebody said, preacher, you're being foolish. Not on the basis of what's recorded right here. We are robbing or depriving ourselves, brethren, because we're not asking God to bless us and supply us with our needs. And there are things that God is withholding from you and then me, perhaps, because we're not asking him for it. I heard Brother Rod Miller preach this past week. One of the fine, fine lessons. Excellent sermon. And among other things, Rod said, as he was talking along this particular line, that there are things that God has for us that we're not receiving because we're not asking. That is a divine principle. That is truth. In fact, Jesus taught it also. If you, as a father, when your son or your daughter asks you something, you don't give him a serpent or a stone. Brethren, from a familial standpoint, a parent standpoint, there are things we never give our children until they ask for them, right? And Jesus said, how much more shall your Father in heaven give to you that ask of him? And we need to pray. And we don't pray for ourselves. And Hezekiah said, Lord, give me more years to live. And God said, I've heard your prayer, and I have seen thy tears. He sees our tears. He sees our life. And behold, I'll heal you, and I'll add unto your days 15 years. And he did it, healed him by taking a lump of figs and took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said, I want to see a sign. And the sign was that the shadow would go back 10 degrees. Go back 10 degrees. I read an article some time ago about where they found the lost day. They said there's a day lost in time. And they made it around in this bulletin, and preachers jumped on it and said, here is Hezekiah's day. And I've always been leery of some of these statements undocumented. Lo and behold, wasn't long after that till it came out all this is a hoax. They haven't didn't find the lost day. There was a day. Something happened back here. I don't know how God did it. Somebody says he did it by refraction. I don't know whether he did or not. It doesn't say. But the sundial was set back. Hezekiah said, it won't mean anything if it goes forward. Indeed, it wouldn't. But he said, God, you set it back 10 degrees. And he did. And some of these skeptics, they boo-hoo at this. And they say, well, that never happened. And they say these 185,000, they said, why, there's some kind of a plague as a quick-working plague overnight. And they say this down here really didn't happen. I want to tell you, friend, listen, if I start with God who created this universe, I don't have any trouble at all of allowing for God to intervene and killing 185,000 people or setting the sundial back 10 degrees. Do you? Now, the Bible says it. I believe it. It's like the old preacher one time. He announced ahead of time he was going to preach on Noah and the ark, and some mischievous boys got into the building, had one of these big old pulpit Bibles, and they glued two pages together. He got up the next night and he said, now my text is taken back here from the book of Genesis chapter 6. He said, let me read a little bit. I'm going to talk about Noah. And he began reading and he read a little bit. And he says, Noah's wife, and he had to turn the page. Instead of turning one, he turned two. And he began to read and said she was 300 cubic feet long. And she was pitched within and without. He looked up the audience. He blinked a little bit. He said, brethren, he said, that's what the Bible says. And he says, I believe. He says, after all, David said that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, I like that kind of confidence. If the book of God said it, it's so. And the sundial went back 10 degrees. God heard his prayer, my friend. And he healed him and extend his life for 15 years. And he'll hear yours and he'll hear mine. God richly blessed this great man. He came down to the end of his life, and we see over here in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and the 33rd verse of this 32nd chapter that he died, and Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the chiefest of the sepulchres of the sons of David, and all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem did him honor at his death, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. Here was a blight upon this great man. Here his daddy was no good, and his son Manasseh was no good, and he was born 3 years after he was healed. The extension of his life became to be a blight upon the life of Hezekiah. If he died when he was first stricken, this old wicked son would not have influenced the children of Israel. But such wasn't the case. Manasseh was born after the healing of Hezekiah, and the rest is history. Hezekiah, the greatest king of all. If you're in this audience this morning and not a Christian, as we sing this song of invitation, we want you to come and give Jesus Christ your heart. Serve him all the days of your life. It'll pay great dividends in the after a while. One of these days, just like Hezekiah, we're going to die. And we're going to be buried. But our spirit goes back to God. One of these days, we're going to be judged as the graves will give up the dead and the seed. And all of us gathered before Jesus Christ and give an account of the deeds done in the body. Would you come this morning and surrender to him all of your heart? Let him redeem you and forgive you and cleanse you and make you one of his own. Will you do it? Young person, don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. It's dangerous. We're talking about serious business this morning. It isn't if you just missed a bus or a plane or a train. You've missed heaven if you leave this world without Christ. Would you come today? If you're an erring child of God, would you come home, be restored to your first love? While together we stand and while we sing.